don't want to see you coming back in here with fucking junkies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained junkies.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Here we are then, second week of July. 14 elite teams left across the two championships, leaving your so-called weaker podcast in a pit of existential despair. But don't worry, we've thought of a little idea in which we can bring the so-called weaker counties back into the conversation, and we're going to do it in this week's podcast. Welcome along. It's Gavin Cooney presenting here in the company of Mick McCarthy and Mark Farley.
Hi, Gavin.
Any cry?
Hi, Mark.
I think a lot of people say the championship really starts now, but for us, the championship really finishes this week.
This is
it. Last weekend.
We're just like phoning it in now till the end of the season.
Yeah, don't know anything about these teams. Can I post a spoiler alert here?
Please do.
Yeah, can I? This is what Gavin was talking about when we said we were going to work the weaker counties into it. We've been tasked this week with picking a player from the weaker counties to add into one of the Super 8 teams to improve them. Now, I had no issue picking a good player from the weaker counties for any of them.
No.
Problem is, I know nothing about these teams. So nobody does. There's never any media coverage of them. They're never on television. There's never any time devoted to them on the likes of the Sunday game. Who are we meant to know what the likes of Dublin or Kerry need?
We drew lots earlier on and to who was going to pick which team, and I got Kerry, and I nearly collapsed. I got a borderline panic attack, to be honest. How am I supposed to know what's supposed to go into the Kerry team to make it better?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, haven't been watching them for years.
Yeah, there was a lot of debate and argument about who should take what county, and then I think, I was worried, should Kerry, Dublin, who should I get? And then I thought at the end of it, what's the difference? We're all going to go off and ask Morris anyway who should we put in. So we've split them up, but Morris has really picked most of them.
Yeah, and to be honest, PJ also helped me out, so we'll get to that.
There you go, listen, that's the most contrived way yet we've found of saying that we know nothing.
14 teams left across two competitions sounds actually worse than it is in terms of the spread, because football and hurling have become such distant relatives of each other at this stage that those 14 teams cover 13 counties.
Yeah.
Only Galway are left in both competitions, with eight teams left in the football and six left in the hurling. It's kind of amazing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and probably best summed up by, well, like the last county, I'm pretty sure, to win both the football and hurling All-Ireland
1990,
was Cork.
Yeah.
And ever since, they seem to have renounced football altogether.
It's hard to say, the only team you really usually would expect up there is Cork. And as Tom O'Shea has written them off now, they are not a football county.
Yeah.
So that's Sunday night, so...
Yeah, you would have had Tipperary in a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
At this stage.
Well, if feckin' Tipperary didn't keep losing to Cork. This is the maddest thing that's happened over the last 2 years. Cork have consistently been terrible. They keep beating Tipperary.
I don't know. Tipperary have consistently been good.
Yeah.
And they keep losing to Cork.
Well, 2 years in a row. Is it 2 years in a row? They beat them in 2016, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to come on to Cork. We're going to look back at the weekend's GAA and look ahead to this coming weekend's round of games. Through our very exciting Guess the Handicaps game, which I think make you quite a good record.
Well, I'm 1-1. Morris kicked my behind 5-2 last week. He was 3-0 up, picking exact all three times.
Yeah.
Kind of demoralised me. But I fancy myself against Mark. I've won my only game against Mark.
I think there should be a new rule invoked for this week where if you get it spot on, you should get 2 points.
No.
I think there has to be. Like, closest. Morris should have had that wrapped up. It was completely unfair.
I'm actually in favour of that.
Yeah.
But your Mark's checked all these.
I haven't.
No,
but like,
you can't.
There's
you
times, and I think I did it before, to be fair, in the first week, where you went first at one, say it was -6 or something. And I thought it was less than -6, so I just went -5 to play it safe. Whereas if there was that incentive to try and get it nailed on for the second point,
okay.
I'd go for it.
Right. Let's start true to our heart with a final mention of the Joe McDonagh Cup teams this year. Carlo haven't had a great year, promoted to Division 1B, won the Joe McDonagh Cup, so promoted to the Leinster Championship, got an unmerciful battering off Limerick, 5-22 to 13 points. Westmeath made more of a game against Wexford, but ultimately lost as well, 2-21 to 16. Like, where do we stand? I mean, are we in favour of these games being played?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week where I said it was lip service, and I still do think it is. I mean, I don't think it's there for that much reason, but it certainly is no harm them playing. And if we're talking about Carlo getting promoted, they do need to playing teams like Limerick. They'll be playing in 1B next year in the league, and they'll get some more of these kind of games, and it won't be such a culture shock. But really what's happened here is that Limerick, first of all, less importantly, unlike Wexford, who kind of were happy enough, they lost a close game to Kilkenny, got third place, have been focusing on this for a long time. Limerick were the darlings of the country and went out and were absolutely brutal against Clare and Ennis. And I think they're probably just raring to go, chomping at the bit, wanted a game and went out and gave a lesser team a hiding. On the other side of it, it's Carlow. Way more importantly, this game definitely shouldn't be played after the Joe McDonagh Cup final. As you mentioned last week, Alan, you know, Carlow won. They did what they set out to do this year. They got promoted out of the league and they won the Joe McDonagh Cup. They're promoted into the Leinster Championship next year. And then they have to go and play a quarter final the week after. Just psychologically, every which way, I don't know how they were supposed to come up and really do themselves justice.
Mm.
They probably still would have lost the game, but I don't know if they would have shipped that much.
Yeah, Westmeath, to be fair as well, Leitrim was talking after the game and was saying that Westmeath got off to a decent enough start of going with them. Then Wexford started getting into the swing of things. They had a bit of a rest. You know, the 3 weeks off, it took them a while to get up and going. They went in 7 points up at half time and they went, that's all right, now we're motoring. Mm. Let's go out and really put the pedal to the floor in the second half and put in a brilliant display. And they actually then only managed to win the second half by 4 points.
Yeah.
So like,
and they got a late goal in the first half as well. That kind of like that sort of ended, you know, it made it look worse than it was by all accounts. So yeah, Westmeath definitely showed up, and I think they're probably a better reflection as to where the gap is. I think it's probably slightly more than Westmeath showed against Wexford, but less than Carlow's defeat to Limerick.
Yeah, maybe it shows a bigger gap between Munster and Leinster at the senior level.
Exactly. We'll see. The beauty of the way the system has gone this year is that we don't know that yet. Yeah. Like normally we'd know by now
Limerick
through the qualifiers.
Still win Ireland, or at least you could see them find them in a final.
Yeah, for sure.
Cody was talking them up as people's favourites to win the All-Ireland after Sunday's game. A brief word on friend of the show, Michael Ryan. His stint at Westmeath is all over.
501. It was his 501st round trip to Mullingar was it Saturday or Sunday? Sunday. 501st trip, 5 hour round journey. That's a lot of hours.
Did you do the maths?
No, he did the maths. He said when he was in his resignation.
Did you do how many hours it is?
Oh, how many hours? No.
2,500, I think. Yeah.
2,500.
It's a lot of hours.
By the way, James Hickey, he's a former Carlow hurling captain. He was on KCLR this week. He reckons that Carlow are 10 points better than Offaly. I wonder, is this true?
I was about to say the gap, though, the Westmeath shows the true gap, you know, or more of an indication. Like, that means there isn't much of a gap between Westmeath and Offaly.
Or Carlow, yeah.
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 I'm looking forward to it, but I'd wonder, because I still think that there's a... Westmeath have beaten Carlow. Carlow have beaten Offaly. In recent years, there's no reason to think they wouldn't again. Like, it's funny because they don't get to play each other with the system, you know, one up, one down. But they will in 1B in the league next year. So
yeah,
that's
unless Carlow end up finishing third in Leinster next year.
Yeah,
cut out.
It's unlikely.
Probably not. Anyway, let's turn to football. A sure sign that we're at the height of summer, because Cork footballers have hit rock bottom. This I think is the third year in a row that Cork have hit rock bottom, seemingly unaware that they have further to fall. There was their heaviest defeat to Kerry in 80 years, followed up by another hammering at the hands of Tyrone, who was, what did they concede, 320.
Yeah. Mark, we were talking about this yesterday. Someone said it was their biggest defeat to a team other than Kerry in 100 years. I was like, well, that does make sense, in fairness, considering they only ever lost to Kerry or won a Munster and got to an All-Ireland semi-final for 90 of those 100 years.
Back when Mick O'Dwyer was patronising them by saying
the
second best team in the country.
I don't know. They bottomed out last year, but then came back a little bit. They had a little climb up for the qualifiers, but in a good display against Mayo. This year, I think that it looks like the Tipperary game was just some weird anomaly. It wasn't that what happened to Cork in the final against Kerry was like what happened to Cork in the semi-final against Tipperary, because in the league they weren't great shakes either. We thought they were going to get relegated.
But they have gone back furiously this year. Because even in the Munster final last year, they were heavily beaten. But I remember they created like two or three reasonable goal chances, you know? And then, as they said, they nearly beat Mayo in the qualifiers.
Do you have a secret hatred for Cork? I've never seen you so animated about something as Cork's decline.
No, I just laugh at these people who think, oh, well, it can't get any worse than this. Middle of Division 2. It can.
As listeners to this podcast know full well.
there's another two more divisions below Division 2 Cork.
What did you make of Tomás O'Shea having a go at them for being not a football county? And that, like, because hurling is the bigger thing there. I mean, you don't see when Dublin take a beating in the hurling, you don't hear them, the pundits come on having a go at them because football's more important in Dublin, you know? It's the counties are big enough to support both. One is obviously going to be bigger than the other. I thought it was it's an interesting thing from a man who's lived in Cork for a long time and has obviously played with Nemo recently, but I also just don't know if it's a excuse for a county that size with such a big GAA population.
Weird though, like how many, I suppose you have the four, Limerick aren't mighty, a great football stronghold now, far from it, but like if you look at Galway, Dublin, Cork, the big population centres in the country, they're all kind of dual counties, but at the same time, apart from Galway, none of them are really, for as long as I can remember, like in even Galway, usually it was one or the other was doing well. This is the first time in a long time that you've both the footballers and hurlers doing well. So it is showing how like it's not that easy of a thing to keep going and keep, and even the county board level, like there's loads of, you know, things that people are giving out about and the way the structure or whatever, and therefore that's been put in. But again, you have to organise fixtures for club championship, hurling championship, football championship, development for football, development for hurling. There's so many different ways you can make mistakes there, and then they get torn apart. Like you don't see Tomás O'Shea or his equivalent on the hurling panel going, well, Kerry aren't a hurling county. That's, you know, like just like in a sort of derogatory way. It's usually the opposite. This isn't a great way Kerry are starting to come strong, blah blah blah.
Yeah. So like, well, I suppose this is a Cork team that won the All Ireland 8 years ago.
Yeah.
It is a different case, I guess.
But hurling folk don't recognise football at all.
Yeah, true. But it is, I think, I'm not saying, oh, sure, what do you expect? There's nothing you can do about it. But I'm just saying that it is understandable sometimes that there will be mistakes made by amateurs. I don't mean, fucking amateurs. That's what it is running that. I mean, actual amateurs running an organisation in Cork County Board.
Yeah. Well, Frank Murphy's time is up now. It's advertising.
Bring in Graham Canty.
Yeah.
To sort it out. Look, it's funny. If you look at the hurlers over the last couple of years, and this is something I was talking about during the week, the people don't realise this, but there's an element of the rebirth in Cork over the last 2 years is kind of come from the last vestiges of the strike era fading out. I think it actually has taken them this long to shake that off. And I think there's an element with the footballers that might be there as well. There was a lot of turmoil there over a number of years. And I just wonder, is it a full rebirth that's needed?
I don't know. I think like a lot of lads that have been playing with Cork now barely remember the strikes.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe they need to swallow their pride and get an outside manager. Because they've had a succession of managers which seemingly have been selectors to the previous guy.
That is something.
Maybe we need to look outside of Cork.
Jim McGuinness really went to town on them after the game.
Yeah.
Tyrone, talking about how easy Tyrone had to go through the Cork, the middle of the Cork defence, and lads just not wanting to put tackles in and get blocks in. So like it is that thing of, we talk about, like it was me that was talking about county board and development strategies and yada yada and organisation. At the same time, like no matter who you have, you can just get men behind the ball and make yourselves difficult to beat, and have Joe Brolly give out about you as you grind your way to a 4-point defeat to Tyrone. But at least you're not conceding 3-20.
Yeah, there is an element that Cork wouldn't be used to facing opposition like that.
Yeah.
You know, because they haven't been playing in Division 1.
We talked about when we did a show with Tomás O'Shea last year, Mark, and at the time he was rumoured to be in line for the Cork job. Yeah. And my God, I've never seen someone dismiss something so quickly. I couldn't see myself in that tracksuit. You know, it's like even the idea that he's like, you know, forcibly making his son, who's from Cork, a Kerry fan, so that he never has to see the red and white in his house. Like, you know, I'm possibly putting words in Tomás's mouth here, but, you know, there is, I wonder, would a Kerry person cross the line? I think that could be kind of funny.
Is one of the things just on the Jim McGuinness thing there as well, is like every week now he's on Sky and someone played, like a team has played poorly, and every week I'm thinking, Jesus, it'd be great if Jim, like last week it was, the week before last week, and it was Cavan, he was giving out a stink about Cavan before the game. I was like, God, Jim McGuinness would make some difference in a Cavan manager. Imagine that, that'd be unreal. Imagine Jim McGuinness as Cork manager. Mm. Yeah. Would he make the commute from one end of the country to the other? Or he's in Scotland, from Scotland to Cork.
There's also like looking at somebody that might be a little bit outside the box, as you said.
I think Liam Kearns is my shout. I think Liam Kearns.
Liam Kearns could possibly end up managing every team in Munster, yeah. But, you know, even if you don't look outside the county, maybe it's not an outside manager, but it's outside the current structure. Maybe someone like Tom McGlinchey, the Waterford manager, who's from Cork, who's done a pretty good job this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens. Cork are out of the Championship, Tyrone on to the Super 8. Also through Kildare, the runaway train that is Kildare. That qualifier route of Derry, away to Longford, and then Mayo and Fermanagh. Like, that's a tough route.
It is. It's unreal. Like, one of the things that's weird, and I was when you compare hurling and football, is that, you know, the way that in the Munster Championship, Leinster Championship, there was this whole thing about fatigue and playing every week in a row, and the teams got breaks, you could clearly see it. Like, that doesn't seem to apply as much with the football and the qualifiers. Like, everybody's going out, Kildare will be coming in this weekend, all guns blazing, and they're carrying real momentum into it. There isn't the top of Kildare are absolutely going to be absolutely goosed, haven't played every single week. Same with Monaghan, although they weren't playing, obviously, at the same intensity. But, like, it's strange that there isn't, doesn't seem to be the same amount of fatigue on the footballers as there is in the hurlers.
There are different games won, and I think there's an element of momentum through the qualifiers that has been there in both sports.
Yeah.
So when it was happening in hurling, it could be there as well, yeah. You know, and I think this is our second chance and we're rising up and you're going up in levels. Whereas I think one of the issues with the Munster Hurling Championship and the fatigue was they were playing against the same level every team weekend, yeah. in a must-win game every week. And I think it was Kildare, that'd be the thing for them is like they are playing at teams at their or above their level 3 weeks in a row. And you wonder now when they have to beat Monaghan this week because they're not going to win two games against Galway and Kerry.
Yeah.
But psychologically there is that like kind of safety net.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, will they get themselves up for
Monaghan's
it again?
The same. Monaghan has played every week. I think they've both went into the qualifiers in the same round. But Kildare look unreal. It's that the benefit again of week in, week out. Keane O'Neill was talking after the game. Peter Canavan had picked out one of their kickouts and he was just looking, going, look at this zone in the middle. He had six Kildare men. Now watch what happens. They all kind of went about their ways and one just entered into the zone. The keeper kicked it straight down the middle to him. And Keane O'Neill was talking about that was something they'd worked on all week on the back of the Mayo game, where they sometimes, for periods of the game, they struggled to keep possession from their own kickout, so they had this organised, this simple tactic to just regain possession and start working up the field again. These little things that, like, if you are your Galway or whatever it is, they haven't been able to do that because they haven't played in nearly a month now. I'd say it's a month since Galway played the provincial final.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, Hyde Park or nowhere.
Yeah, Hyde, the original one.
The Hyde or nowhere, sorry.
Elsewhere, Monaghan beat Graham Brody 19 points to 111. this is an all-star performance now from Graham Brody.
Yeah, we were talking about this. Who was I talking to this?
Morris.
Morris might have been about who can possibly replace Brody now as the all-star goalkeeper.
Like, he's not going to win an all-star, but the question is, should he? Because it will be forgotten. He'll get nominated and that'll be he got nominated. That's what people are saying. But actually, nobody is going to have four as influential performances as he had over the course of the season. He made, I think it was something like 7 saves in that game. Have you ever heard of a Gaelic football goalkeeper making 7 saves in a game? Not to mention everything he does as a playmaker.
Yeah. I think we have a rolling all-stars on the site every week. So we've been picking our all-stars since the beginning of the championship. And so every week you had to do something. Like, it makes it harder to just, like, you know, pick somebody other than Graham Brody at the end of the championship, because you have to find a good enough reason to kick Brody out of it now. Once you're in, it's hard to get out. And it'll be interesting to see now if someone can force their way onto it.
Maybe they'll do with this all-star position what they've been doing footballer of the year the last couple of years. And instead of giving it to who deserves it, they'll give it to a Mayo player. So it might be David Clark. Congratulations.
Gavin's having a cut at everybody this week.
And speaking of cuts, like, it's not the one person in this room who can't do that is Gavin, because he insisted upon putting Dermot O'Connor into our role in All-Stars because of one performance against Kildare. Now, undoubtedly a fantastic performance, but we are 2 months into the championship and you're basing that pick on one game.
I think he's had good form since he went to America. I think he's been playing well out there. He says, based on...
He's not already in America, is he?
Look, I mean, there might be an element of recency bias to this, but Jermaine O'Connor, is that the greatest midfield performance in the history of the game? I think it might have been.
Okay.
Elsewhere, Roscommon saw Fermanagh 222-119. This is an amazing game.
Yeah. Well done to Roscommon. What a big win. Right? Armagh played well. Like. Yeah.
And the home of GA that is RT News now. It was on during the England World Cup game. This is a much, 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 much better game.
I managed to miss everything because I watched both games and saw nothing at the same time. I missed both the England goals because I was watching Roscommon and Armagh at the time both the goals went in. And then I missed anything decent that happened in Roscommon and Armagh because I was watching the England game, including the time Armagh got a penalty. Roscommon saved it, went straight up the field and scored a goal. I saw the missed penalty, changed the channel back, and then came back like, how in the name of God did Roscommon score a goal in the space of 2 minutes?
Yeah.
What an evening, what a performance. One of the greatest wins ever by the Rossies. Up to Pier Stadium. Goal with 6-1 on to beat us by 12 points. What happened? The Rossies arrived into town. What did we do? We blew them into Galway Bay.
The 222 for Roscommon. 320 each. Kildare and Tyrone. I thought Gaelic football was dead.
Yeah, I thought it was nothing but defensive football and blankets and low-scoring games, blah, blah, blah. It's interesting now because we're bidding adieu to the qualifiers.
Adieu.
Bye-bye qualifiers, day-day. And we're going into the really competitive end of the season. And we've been looking at some stats that have been provided to us by Sure, the official statistics partner of the GAA. And this is the highest scoring championship since the beginning of the qualifiers in the last 17 years. The average score in the game so far has been 18.64 points.
Okay.
So it's quite clear that the defensive football that we've has been much maligned isn't really it isn't really true. It's
yeah.
not
yeah.
like you're seeing the odd game, but again,
what's that compared to what it used to be?
Well, it's interesting you should ask, Mick, because Sure have also provided us with statistics for the last 17 years. And if you look at through the trend, bar one or two years outliers, it has been getting progressively higher and higher year upon year. Every year. In 2001, the average score per game was 14.79 points. So we have now broken the 18-point mark for the first time this year with 18.64. Oh. So like the second highest on record was 2017. Well, since the start of qualifiers, 2017 at 17.78. Fourth highest was 2016, and the third highest was 2014. So in the last 4 years, in the last 5 years, we've had the four highest scoring championships.
Is this a good thing?
In the last 17 years. I think so. Well, one doubting Thomas would say...
Well, blowouts. The likes here, 320 to 13-point blowouts for Tyrone against Cork.
Well, it's funny you should ask that, Gavin, because I also have stats on the average winning margin so far in this year's
championship. I actually didn't know you had that.
He genuinely didn't, but...
did know originally, yeah, when I asked him about the historical data.
So since the dawn of 2001, the dawn of 2001, which brought
January, funnily enough.
Yes, which brought with it the dawn of the All-Ireland qualifiers, the average winning margin across the championship has been 4.7 points. This season, it's been 5.7. With the most competitive game still to come is the very important point. So like it's going to be way down because you've still got... Now it's going to even probably be brought down further again because you've got more games between the most competitive teams this year. But going into it, it has risen by... It's 1 point above the average so far.
Wow.
Despite some of the hammers.
Again,
and that's not
close
that's,
games to
yeah,
come.
And that's not commensurate with the massive rise in scoring.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. What's the real story behind this then? Because joking aside... Scoring is higher than ever, but it's not because there's been more blowouts than ever or anything like that. Everything else is the same too. Why is it that football doesn't feel like there's as many scores as there is? Because like back in the day, Joe Brawley's Wonderland of the 1990s, where he talks about, if you look at some of the scores in those games, you're talking... I pointed out before a Connacht final that was 1-5 to 7 points. I think the 93 Ulster final that his team won was like 9-8 or something like that. You wouldn't see a game of football like that these days.
No.
You just wouldn't. But it is more defensive. There is more
structured
defence.
There definitely was, I thought, in the Ulster Championship only a couple of years where it looked like we were getting to the stage where there's going to be a team that would score no points. It was getting dangerous there, but in the rest of the county country, it wasn't really happening. And then by the time it cordoned on everywhere else, we kind of evolved past that. So that didn't really take in across the rest. Like, I mean, if you look at the average points, so this isn't like that was total score, what I was talking about earlier on. This is just the average points, not taking into account goals. It's gone up from 11.83 in 2001 to 15.26 in 2018. So we've gone up by almost 4 points in the last 7 years per game. I think it's just players are better. They are more accurate.
They're fitter.
They can score from greater distance.
Yeah.
The games themselves, like there's very little difference between the 78th minute of a game and the first minute of a game. There might be lulls in the middle of games as you're sort of, you know, players are getting that active rest in and then they go again for another 10 minutes. But it's not a case of the game just sort of petering out for the last 10 or 15 minutes and everybody's out on their feet. So often you can find that the last 10 minutes are the most exciting, and you get like the Roscommon Armagh game, the perfect example, where you got so many scores in injury time. Roscommon scored 1-3 or something in injury time.
Yeah.
And the week before, Armagh did the same against Clare in injury time. So
yeah. The spread of scorers, I think, would be a massive difference there as well. You're not just relying on your free taker and two marquee forwards. You can have, like, Frank McGlynn's going to pop up and get you
exactly
1-2 in a game as well, you know.
Definitely. You've goalkeeper scoring 45s.
Well, that's class. These are positive, the glory
positive,
days.
Positive, positive, positive.
Yeah. What a sport. Take that, hurling.
Well, we might get hurling stats I have 128 at the weekend.
I have an extra bit here as well from Shore. They provided us with these stats, and then at the end of it they said, it's quite clear from reading all these stats, when you take in the average total score, the average total goals, the average total points, and the average winning margin in the championship since 2001, that hurling is the winner.
Shore didn't actually say that.
So here are your Super 8s, which, by the way, This is an important debate. Some people, including our state broadcaster, have been putting an apostrophe in eights from Super Eights. This is surely wrong. He turns to Mark Farley.
We talked about this.
I had thought this out in my head because Mick had introduced something interesting into things. I was like, no, there's no need to apostrophe. Super Eights, what? They don't own anything. And then Mick was like, yeah, but it's not a plural because it's not like, you know, I've bought the Cummins. What is a plural? I can't think of a number. The plural
is something that is more than one. So there isn't two Super Eights. There's only one. There's eight teams.
Yeah.
It is a Super Eight that will go into the league. So this is the league of the Super Eight. Therefore, it is the Super Eights, eight apostrophe S.
No, because it's not. Because no
but
one
then
is,
it would have
you're
to
not
be
short
apostrophe.
You're not. Yeah.
It wouldn't. No, why? There's only one eight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not. No one. You've made up this bit at the end of it. It's like it's a league of the Super Eights. The Super Eight. I think the answer to this is that it should be called the Super Eight. It's not the Super Eights. That's the S. The reason you don't know whether there should be an apostrophe in it or not is because there shouldn't be an S in it.
Exactly.
That's a good point. I have to. The Irish Times don't put an apostrophe in it. And I've generally been doing what the Irish Times have done.
Yeah.
Here's your groups then. Galway.
Oh, hold on. I'll tell you why it's a double. Because the Super Eights are two groups that are in these quarterfinal groups. Therefore, it is...
No, because then they'd be the Super Fours.
No, they wouldn't. It's eight that are in the competition, but the groups are the competition. So it's the two groups are the Super Eights.
Okay, sorry about
but
this.
It's the All Ireland quarter final series.
Yeah,
if we want to get
particular
about it.
Because it's not official, it's vague. But I'm saying is that that's the most logical conclusion.
Or the Super Eight.
Nobody's calling them that.
If you're the listener that is still with us, please do get in touch and tweet at Pulsefella as to what the right way to do it.
Let us know your thoughts in the
podcast. Or don't bother.
Here are your groups: Galway, Kerry, Kildare, Monaghan. It falls to you now to predict who's going through from that group.
Before we do, I want to just... there was a question about an article or something like that about All-Ireland odds or who's coming out of the Super 8s or the All-Ireland semi-finalists or something like that. And somebody got really tick and replied to us with, this is a load of nonsense. Sure, it's straightforward. Everybody knows that it's going to be Dublin, Donegal, Kerry and Monaghan. This is all done already. And it's like, they just kind of like dismissed Galway. Not only... that they predict Galway aren't going to make it, but that it's not even worth discussing.
Yeah.
That they have absolutely no chance.
So if you want to turn off now, feel free. But we're going to pretend for a second that it isn't all done and dusted. And I'm going to go with... who do you say again? Who are these
Galway,
people?
Galway, Kerry, Kildare and Monaghan.
Kerry and Kildare.
Okay.
Kildare?
Wow. Haven't played... Well, they... By the end of a while, have they played 5 games in 6 weeks or something stupid?
I think 6 and 6.
6 and...
I don't know,
no, there's a break week for Hurling semi-finals. Okay. Yeah.
6 and 7.
That's nice, because Hurling getting a whole weekend to itself. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, 2 semi-finals in the same weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Kerry for sure, and I want to say, I don't think you're there. I want to say Monaghan, but I'm going to say Galway. I think it's unfair to write off Galway.
Yeah.
Given their form so far this
year.
And
then Dublin, Donegal, Tyrone and Roscommon.
I'm going for Dublin.
This is very hard to call.
There's a part Dublin, of me that thinks Tyrone. Yeah. I think Tyrone are going to somehow sneak past Donegal. I don't know why or how, but...
I can't believe I'm going to say this. But...
Roscommon!
No, wait. I've got to go with Donegal.
He hates Donegal.
Dublin, Donegal. Yeah.
Dublin, Donegal. Okay. We're going to take a little brief musical interlude and we're going to be back... with our improving the Super 8 counties by adding a player from a so-called weak county to the Super 8 county or something catchier
Super
than that.
Super 8 county.
The impression of the game you get all with what you put into is like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you?
Okay, we're down to the eight best teams left in the football championship, the Super 8s.
Eight.
Perhaps in a fast three, perhaps not. But sadly, all of these teams have some glaring weaknesses, as our analytical minds have deduced. So we have set ourselves the task of picking a player from a so-called weaker county that is all of the counties that have been eliminated from the All-Ireland so far, apart from Mayo, who deserve, obviously, to have won this All-Ireland.
They deserve 1 year of non-so-called weaker county status, having made 4 All-Ireland finals. But only 1 year, lads.
So we're
picking. You want to get back there next year.
So we're picking a player from one of those counties to improve one of the Super 8 counties. Now, we've each taken a Super 8 county each. We'll start with Galway and Mark Farley.
Yeah, well, this now, I jokingly said about we got Morris through them all. I actually did all these on my own. But I asked Morris for advice about the Galway one, and I had it decided by the time he came back to me. And I got really excited because he came back to me with 2 suggestions that I had actually thought of. They were my 2 ideas.
Okay.
So I was like someone who had passed an exam because I had Dr. Morris in the building going, yes, you're right.
I'm not stolen your mind. Go on.
So I'm drafting in Gareth Dillon from Leash as cornerback.
I was going to pick him.
Well,
yeah. I knew Mark would pick him anyway.
How?
I just knew you would. You've been talking about him all year.
But it's not even that. I just looked at Galway and went, where can you improve? You can improve either cornerback. I think they could benefit from a centre halfback, or they could benefit from having somebody else in there, like with Comer, but along Comer's stature. I couldn't think of anyone. Rory Grugan was the closest I could come for there, but then I've saved him for later on. And so like it was pretty much cornerback with Gareth Dillon, because they're not bad at centre halfback either. It was just a sort of... You're looking at Colin Begley or someone who could slot
this
in.
Gareth Dillon,
this is like a draft, by the way. So if you get a player before the next person, you have to go down to your next choice.
Oh, shite.
Yeah, so be careful here. Like, you know, we're drafting from the so-called weaker counties here.
I've spoiled alert there. Yeah, Rory Google pencil in.
It's one of my lads.
Okay, so Leash's Gareth Dillon has joined Galway. Next up, Kerry and Mick.
Okay, Kerry unfortunately isn't. I'm not going to go for a corner forward from Kerry. The biggest issue, Kerry, centre of their defence, I think most people would agree. So I was originally looking at a fullback here, but then I was thinking maybe their full back line is something that will sort itself out over time because they've got this guy, Stefan Okumber, who was the man of the match in the under-20 Munster final, who's coming through, who looks like the next big thing. PJ was telling me to not give up on Jason Foley yet, that he's someone that could slot into that position. So their full back line's okay. So centre-back is the one and possibly the best-suited centre-back out there for the so-called weaker counties is Derry's Chrissy McCaig. And he would slot in perfectly. Good kind of Kerry-style hard man centre-back. And also, as an added bonus, he could join the Kerry Hurlers and win them the Joe McDonagh Cup next year as well. So,
like that.
Okay.
Yeah, Chrissy McCaig.
Chrissy McCaig from Derry has gone to Kerry. I've got Kildare. And I've gone for Jamie Clark of New York.
Oh, I forgot he existed.
Yeah.
I saw him. I thought of him and then said, oh, he's not playing with Armagh anymore and dismissed him. He played in the championship.
Some of us were paying attention to the New York Leitrim game because it is, you know.
You didn't go for Sean Johnston here, no?
No. I think he's more of a hurler. No, I went with Jamie Clark. I think he's a dead-eyed killer in Croke Park, and I think that's what Kildare will need to get over. What is a relative hoodoo for them
in
Croke Park?
Who does he replace in that full forward line?
Whoever's not Daniel Flynn.
yeah. Maybe I do get your point. I'm just wondering, is that Kildare's desperate need at the moment? Maybe it's a good signing for any county.
I don't know. I just feel that they kick too many wides and go to Croke Park.
He's got a lot of guile.
Yeah,
as John Giles would say, you could see him feeding off Flynn.
Yeah, great man to get on the ball, no matter kind of how he's been marked as well, isn't he? Yeah. So okay, good show.
Yeah. Right, Monaghan.
Monaghan, this is me. Hard choice here. Didn't really know who to go with. I've decided to go with Grugan. Rory Grugan has been drafted into his neighbouring county.
Okay.
Take some of the pressure off Conor McManus. Other options there were Groves McKiernan or Emlyn Mulligan. But I've decided to go with Grugan. Seems that he can come out the field as well if needs be. If the Monaghan like to play that running game, you could have him both ways. You could have him even just like, you know, more of a playmaker as well, feeding to McManus if needs be. So Grugan has built his way into this team. Okay. Congratulations, Rory.
Two Armagh corner forwards drafted in a row. You'd think that maybe Armagh should probably be in the Super 8s, but
my guy plays at New York.
Yeah, but he's an Armagh man.
I got the Dubs. Got the handy job of improving the Dubs. I was thinking about getting rid of Stephen Cluxton for Graham Brody, but no. I decided that we don't know if Graham Brody's that good just yet. So I've gone for Michael Quinlivan from Tipperary.
Oh, God, I've had two lads taken from me.
I forgot Quinlivan even existed.
Yeah, I thought about improving.
Just showing Mark the name Quinlivan written for as the next pick. But
I fall foul to this as much as anyone else, where I think, you know, that Dublin defence looks a bit vulnerable. But then you realise that they never concede any goals. Like, they just don't.
They're not vulnerable at all.
They're not really. So I decided that perhaps they need another, I'm going to sound like Mayo now, they need another marquee forward, but a guy who can literally turn a game by himself now with Connolly in America. So I think that's Quinlivan.
It's a great shout. I'd put him straight into that Dublin team.
They're not stuck for him, but I think if they could improve, I think that's where they would try and improve.
Nice.
Yeah. He goes into a full forward line with Mannion and Dean Rock, of course. Yeah. Yeah. That's full forward to them outside him. Absolutely.
Or Paddy Andrews.
Well, Paddy Andrews, McManaman, they're still there. You need 20 men these days, Mark.
Yeah, true.
Donegal, Mike.
So Donegal's original choice was Rory Grugan. I wanted someone basically to replace Paddy McBrearty.
Mm.
But now that we've kind of, the choice has been taken, I'm going to play the long game as the GM of Donegal FC here. And so I'm going to bank on the fact that Paddy's going to be back. So I'm not going to go. Adrian Marin was another choice again, would fit in brilliantly this year, but he's 33. Would he be there ahead of McBrearty next year? So playing the long game, although I'm not picking the youngest man now that I think about it, because I was originally going to go with Michael Quinlivan as the second choice, but I'm going to go with John Heslin.
Fuck.
And Heslin, the reason for that is, one thing I wasn't looking for, and Quinlivan and Heslin kind of came up, was that Donegal are kind of well served by that type of player in Michael Murphy. But Michael Murphy, the problem with him is he can't play in two positions at the one time, the long-standing issue. John Heslin plays in both those positions. So when Michael is in one, out in midfield, John goes in full forward, and vice versa, and you've got and you could go with the Twin Towers approach. So John Heslin's moving to Donegal, lads.
All right,
hold on now. For the two of you fucking going mad here, like as if the world has ended for you after the two of you took my last two picks.
I'd like the record to show it's not that I wasn't going to draft John Heslin to anyone. I was excitedly waiting for you to pick somebody else so I could give out to you and go, you're wrong, Mick. the obvious choice for Donegal was John Heslin.
For the reasons I mentioned.
For the exact reasons. I was like, John Heslin, why get draft someone in to replace Paddy McBrearty when Michael Murphy could replace Paddy McBrearty? You could put Heslin midfield if you wanted to. If that wasn't working out, put Heslin in the full forward line, bring Murphy back out to midfield, or put the two of them in the full forward line.
Which is literally the three things I said.
I was waiting for you to give the wrong answer so I could tell you what was the right one.
I wanted to draft John Heslin. So, it falls to Mark to populate Tyrone.
Tyrone, that one was easy. Gary Brennan at
Strange
midfield.
Strange way of putting it. Gary Brennan of Clare is going
at
midfield.
Midfield, yeah.
Okay.
They need someone. They were absolutely torn out of it by Grobe McKiernan at midfield. I think he wasn't even playing midfield. He was playing centre-half forward. But for kickouts, Tyrone have never won a win. Like, the sort of old-style midfield battle of, you know, long-range kickouts, yada, yada. I can't remember a time they actually did it. Even in the Royal Ireland wins, they were never the greatest at that. Like Sean Kavanagh was okay, but he was much more of a much more dynamic than that. Yeah, I suppose Kevin Hughes, he was an old style midfielder.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
But Gary Brennan is both. He can fit into the Tyrone sort of Sean Kavanagh type of dynamic midfielder, and he can also just go old style and just barge through a few lads and win a kick out when he has no business doing it.
Yeah.
I like this.
And then Roscommon.
I'm really excited about all these things that aren't happening.
So I was going to obviously draft John Heslin for Roscommon. I can't do that now. And I did forget to, you know, pick anyone else. So I'm going to panic slightly and pick Grobe McKiernan of Cavan. Because I think what Roscommon needs going forward
is a Cavan man.
Don't know how I feel about this. Don't know how Grode would feel about it either, to be honest.
I think, like, the Roscommon look really good when they let the ball in diagonally and directly into Dermot Murta. And is it Cathal Connolly? Is he the other corner forward?
Kieran Murta.
Kieran plays kind of a little bit.
Oh, yeah, deeper. He's swinging forward.
But yeah, no, I think Grode McKiernan would give them a little bit more physicality when that doesn't work for Dermot. And I think they're missing a slight bit of physicality, Roscommon.
Yeah.
And I think Grode McKiernan can provide that in an emergency.
They also,
mainly because I think he's a similar build to John Heslin.
Yeah, when Compton went off, they were lost kind of for kickouts in the Connacht final.
Yes,
and
that's a very
McKiernan's
good point.
A target
which
man there.
I agree.
It's a very interesting choice. It's a bit left field. I would say that it's an outrage that we've gone through eight counties here and nobody has picked Graeme Brodie, who is a goalkeeper you can't score goals on and sets up scores and everything else with his play. And
but just, I mean, who really needs?
I don't know. I'm just
maybe
it's
Ross.
Strange. I feel I wouldn't disagree with any of the picks, but surely there's a place for him somewhere.
Yeah,
if it was a real draft, you'd nearly build a team around this guy.
Well, see, I was doing it for this year's Super
Footballer of the Year earlier on.
You've gone long term, and I don't know why. Because like, what happens next year when Roscommon get relegated from Division 1, have a terrible championship and aren't in the Super 8? What are you doing then with Grobe McKiernan? And he's
it's
looking
just what
at
you want.
Cavan going into an Ireland semi-final, going, sure could have stayed with them.
So to recap, Dublin,
these are just loan deals for the rest of the season, are they?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
definitely.
So Galway have Leash's Gareth Dillon. Kerry have Derry's Chrissy McCaig. Kildare have New York's Jamie Clark. Monaghan, I forget who Monaghan have.
Monaghan have Rory Grugan.
Rory Grugan of Armagh. Dublin have Tipperary's Michael Quinlivan. Donegal have Westmeath's John Heslin. Tyrone have Clare's Gary Brennan. And Roscommon have Cavan's Grobe McKiernan. We're back after another brief musical sting to look ahead to this weekend's action as we get the handicap.
Back once again it comes here to the number two. Back once again to Conor Loftus. Once again through one market to another. But back once again. Back once again there to Brian Stack. One back once again here. Once again to Philly McMahon this time. There's a chance for Mayo now just to build it from the back once again. Back once again towards back once again. Back once again. Back once again.
So it's a kind of a Premier League style Super Saturday and Super Sunday in the GA this week. There's a whole load of games, some on the same time, and all of them are on TV. Saturday, July 14th, 3 o'clock on RTE, an All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinal between Clare and Wexford. Then 5 o'clock, Roscommon against Tyrone at Croke Park on Sky. Then 7 o'clock, Donegal against Dublin at Croke Park, the neutral venue Croke Park. on RTE. Then on Sunday, July 15th, at 2 o'clock, an All-Ireland Hurling Championship quarter-final between Limerick and Kilkenny in Thurles on RTE. Also at 2 o'clock, Kildare against Monaghan at Croke Park on Sky Sports. And then at 4 o'clock, Kerry against Galway at Croke Park on RTE at the same time as the World Cup
final. At the same time as the World Cup final, featuring England, probably.
Madness, you're, I mean, isn't this...
It's exciting.
You're not impressed.
I have to... Like, a lot of you will remember that some of you who listen to the radio as well will know that in the past life, Mick's name was... He was more affectionately known as Angry Producer Mick. And I have to say, sometimes I got a good laugh. A good laugh on both ways. You know the way Twitter, no matter when you go onto Twitter, you're not going to get tweets from right now. You're going to get tweets from about 2 days ago. And then we have a thing called Slack we use in the office, which is another app for a messenger just for chatting amongst ourselves. And there's something wrong with the Slack app at the minute where when you go into it, it won't jump to the most recent messages. It'll jump to ones from about 14, 15 hours ago.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that as well?
Gavin's just realised that.
Well, so what I was doing home yesterday evening, I go onto Twitter, I go onto Slack, and both of them, it's either a tweet or a message from Mick given out or preemptively getting angry. He wasn't given out because he thought, he wasn't sure if he was meant to be angry at or give out about it, but he was preemptively getting angry at the fact that TV weren't going to show one of the hurling games this weekend in both Slack and Twitter, to the point where he took time out of his day yesterday to add up all the games, because they have the amount of games the television, the TV have rights to show in the championship, add up all the games that were shown so far in the championship and come to the conclusion that there was no way they could have shown both the hurling games this week.
That's because what I just read out there would suggest that they are actually on TV. So that would have been a complete waste of a lot of work.
No.
Exactly.
Once I added up the games, I realised that there was room for both games and that they would both be on TV. However, I wasn't expecting Kildare and Monaghan to be on TV, which means that there is now one Super 8 game that won't be able to be broadcast.
Really?
Yeah, because as current is, if you... You obviously take out replays, but if you broadcast every game between now and both All-Ireland finals, you'll end up with 46 games. And there is only room for 45.
Sorry, I can imagine this being the beloved GAA. I can imagine them getting to the last week of August and realising, oh, holy shit.
Can't play the All-Ireland final.
We've got two All-Irelands on only one TV slot.
Cancel the promotion relegation playoff in the All-Ireland Championship. Wait, there is none. What? Why not? Let's fix that now. Let's introduce one. Quick. But now we have two games we can't televise. I don't care.
I could be wrong about that. It might not be an issue. I don't know. But.
And like, obviously, we don't know because who could forecast 3 weeks ahead. But I think the last round of the Super 8s are going to be played simultaneously. As in the two groups. Not all four games at the one time. But there'll be two games at the same time in each of them. Yeah. And I would presume one of them will be a dead rubber. And that one won't get shown on television. But
can we get back to the issue, though, which is, like, obviously I was jumping the gun a little bit and, you know, I had worked that out wrong and I did kind of say before it even happened that actually I'm wrong about this, whatever, people aren't seeing the threads.
I'm preparing to get angry, but I'll be back later on in the day.
However, is there not an issue here with, like, as Gavin laid out all the games, and it sounds great, but do we really need all of this happening on the same weekend? That, by the way, on Sunday afternoon, we will have possibly Nadal
versus the
World Cup final I was going to finish with. But also, like, even Nadal versus Federer possibly in the Wimbledon final, which could be like the last time we see that, plus the World Cup final, plus two games going up against each other in the GAA. And I understand they don't have time to play these all separately because they've got too many games. But, and they need to have their double headers in Croke Park because that's part of the Super 8 rules because of the neutral venue in Croke Park. I understand that. But surely the All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinals and the first round of the Super 8 didn't need to take place on the same weekend. And all that we're gaining from it is that the two counties that reach the All-Ireland football final will get to start their club championship 1 week earlier than if they had put back the All-Ireland final by a week. There's lots of issues with clubs. That's because they decided... So, look, we all know what's going on here. They condensed the championship so that clubs could play more. Added in a load of extra games, which means that no club activity is taking place during the actual championship, which means, like, there's war in Kilkenny, for example, because they've played so many games that no rounds of the championship, where normally three or four would have been played by now, and they're only getting it started. Club players are worse off because of this. Inter-county fans are worse off because of this, because we lose out a month of the season and everything is bunched and we can't watch other games, because if you're especially if you're going to see your team. So I don't understand why we have to choose as GAA fans between Monaghan and Kildare and Limerick and Kilkenny.
Yeah, they're driving the two different ideological camps with the football crowd.
Absolutely.
The hurling crowd, they're driving them apart.
The bigger issue for me though, and it's one that I see coming up, and I'm not going into full rant mode, I'm not being angry producer Mick, honestly, it is something worth talking about, and it's something that really annoyed me during the week. I knew Clare were playing Wexford, barring a Westmead miracle, since the Munster final. There's no reason that on last Saturday or Sunday, I wasn't able to know where I had to go next weekend and what day. It's a summer's weekend. There's a lot of people. They're looking for crowds to go to these games, and we have no idea where we're going or what day. It's ridiculous. You know, so now, as it turns out, it's Saturday. I have to change around some plans if I want to go to that game, or I don't go to it. I think I'm going to go. But that shouldn't be my life. Mark, you've had to deal with this countless times. Club players obviously have to deal with this as well, but supporters too, you know. Dublin fans at the moment, no information about what day they're going to Omagh.
Yeah, it's great.
Not going to be the easiest place to get to or stay to, you know, or stay. They don't know what day or what time they have to do it. And then they don't know when the third game is either. There's no whatever about not organising the hurling quarterfinals until they know everything that's happening and what the double headers will be. How can you not organise the rest of the Super 8s? Yeah, fixtures are set.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. They just don't seem to have any time for the supporters who go around the country following these teams.
Do you think the Super 8s, they're leaving it again for that sort of prime time? I don't know, 4 o'clock on a Sunday for the biggest game of the last round of the Super 8s.
Do you think that's fair?
No, it mightn't be the case at all. I'm only guessing
because they organise fixtures on the Monday of the week, and that's just how they've always done it. But there's so many fixtures now, and so many people have to be in so many places so often. That's really difficult. Mm.
It's really difficult. And now, when you're following your team, if you're a supporter of a team in the Super 8s, there's three games, you're going to be travelling right across the country. You probably won't be able to afford to go to all three games. Yeah. You know, you're on the road. As your Dublin fan, you're on the road twice. So you know you'd like to plan these things out and then plan your life ahead of it.
Not to mention the fact that
Croke Park as well, they're on the road as well. Like, it's not like they're just traveling up to Parnell Park.
Though. No, I suppose that is their away ground.
Not even to mention the fact that like some of these things, like take Croke Park's absolutely a big example, but it's far more talked about. It's probably a better example. But like, there's no reason that Clare and Wexford's in Cork. That doesn't suit either county. It's a disaster for both counties, right? But it's only there because they want to give a game to Cork. But sure, what's that got to do with competition or anything?
I agree with you. And also, if you looked at the Leinster Hurling final, there were 4 or 5 points that went to Hawkeye, and they're nearly all overturned. And there's no Hawkeye in operation in Porquivia.
Yeah, but there is for the other quarterfinal, the same level of the competition.
It's mad. Anyway, we'll cheer you up.
The Pope. At least we'll have an audience with the Pope.
Yeah, that's true. Do you see 500,000 people going to
the Pope?
Yeah.
They should put one of the games, Super 8 games,
wouldn't
up against
go to,
him.
Wouldn't go to their local mass.
I don't know about the Pope.
Only go to see the big boys when they come to town.
Greatest hit stuff at this stage, isn't it? It's not even the same front man. It's the third front man they've had since the real Pope died.
I was there on the 23rd Sunday in ordinary time when there was only 12 people showing up. Fair weathered supporters.
It's the greatest Eucharistic Congress in the world. Right, come here. Here, Mick, good news for you, Mick. I'm going to cheer you up by offering you the chance to kick Farley's ass as we get the handicaps for the 4 football games and the 2 hurling games this weekend. We're going to start with hurling. I know this is Mick's forte, but I'm going to give you the first guess, all right?
It's not my forte.
And we have an exciting addition to the news that I can't remember if we talked about.
We did, yeah.
During the show or off mic.
It was during the show there.
No, it was off mic. It was during the show. The show's been on for about 4 days now, and it's so warm in this room, we're going to pass out for heat.
Say it again, just in case.
1 point for being the closest to the correct handicap. If you get it bang on, you get 2 points. Let's start with Clare and Wexford in the hurling. Mark gets first pick.
Oh,
Clare -2.
Oh, I was going to say Clare -2 as well. I'll say Clare -1.
You went the wrong way. It's Clare -3.
1 point.
That's a lot, lads. That's just to comment on this briefly. I'd be very, very worried about how Wexford match up to Clare.
I think, well, I mean,
speed, fitness, a lot of things going badly.
Yellow
for
in both jerseys. They don't even have that player.
No, well, neither do Wexford anymore, but sure.
You sound a bit like Alan Hansen on Aftermath. He's quick, he's fast, and he's got pace. Limerick against Kilkenny in the other...
I said speed and fitness.
I know.
They're two different things, you fool.
Limerick against Kilkenny, Mick.
Ooh, interesting.
I can't even decide who's favourite for this.
Yeah. Is there any chance there's no spread in this game? It's a draw.
Okay. And Mark?
I'm going to go... Kilkenny minus one.
Yeah, you're right.
Limerick minus one.
What? Oh, I'm closer. Sure, look, it makes sense, lads.
Mick, having refused to give an answer, really, has got that
I
right.
was 1 point off. That counts.
Okay, so it's 1-1 as we head to the football.
I'm getting very agitated during the show. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I kind of want to get out of the room.
It's like me from 5 years ago here. I have to calm down.
Okay, one of the groups in the Super 8s, beginning with Tyrone against Roscommon. Mark.
Oh, another one difficult to call. Who's the favourite for? Tyrone minus one.
Mick.
Given what happened on Sunday, you think that Roscommon would have bought a couple of points there or on Saturday? I'm going to go for Tyrone minus one too.
You can go for the same.
Roscommon minus one.
I think it's more than minus one for Tyrone now, but I can't change. It's too late.
The answer is Tyrone minus three.
Yeah.
But
I'll take my point and
I've changed my mind about who's coming out of the Super 8s. Roscommon are going to be thrown this weekend.
Dublin,
that's why I nearly went for Roscommon.
Dublin against Donegal. Remember, Dublin don't have home advantage in this one.
I'm first here now, yeah. Dublin minus five.
Dublin minus five as well.
Ah, here. Dublin, he's got a lead now. That's not fair.
Dublin minus seven is the answer. So there's no point there.
I argue for this. Another rule change. I'd like to ask the judge for a rule change.
Okay.
Is pushed once. So if you decide to go, because if you go second, it's like you're saying, I could just keep going the same for Mick now the whole time and take my win. It's pushed to the next hole. So whoever gets this one right gets 2 points or 4 points.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Four
if you get spot on.
But you didn't get the last one spot on, so you only get one bonus point. So you get three.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Monaghan against Kildare.
I can't remember.
Is it
you
first?
Yeah,
yeah.
First, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We were both wrong.
Monaghan
minus one.
Monaghan
minus
two.
Monaghan minus two. Yes! Yes! 3 points in the bag.
Bet you wished for four now.
Oh, what a moment. This means that Mark, so it's now Mick 4 points.
Mark another two points.
This is incredible. I'm very much hoisted by your own petard. So, Kerry against Galway, you have to get this bang on to bring it to a draw.
And I'm first.
And there are no tiebreakers, actually, as far as I'm aware. So it would end in a draw.
Just do it for some random soccer game. Or
Kerry against Galway. Mick, you get the first pick.
It's in Croke Park. Kerry minus two.
Okay.
It should be lower, but I think it will be minus two.
Kerry minus three.
It's minus two, isn't
it? It's Kerry minus three.
Yes! No!
Let's do the World Cup semi-finals.
There we go.
That's outrageous.
There we go.
How are Kerry minus three?
Pull that out of the fire. Of course Kerry are minus three.
Chicago have hardly lost a bloody game all year.
Look at
Kerry. They only lost to Dublin twice.
Did not draw with Dublin.
They drew and then lost to them in the league final.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. There's
just further arguing against it. Further backing up your point.
Okay, so I found a tiebreaker situation.
Yeah.
Judging by the betting website that I'm currently at, who are the fifth favourites to win the All-Ireland football?
Fifth favourites. I'll go first, though.
If you want.
Oh, God. Monaghan.
Mark.
He's writing them out. That's cheating.
What can he say, Monaghan?
You can send us to a tiebreak. The fifth favourites to win the 2018 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship is Tyrone at 14-1.
Yes!
Monaghan are the sixth favourites at 22s. That means
Monaghan,
Mark,
who beat Tyrone easily this year. Tyrone always get money. Like, I should have thought of that. Tyrone have this, like...
Angry producer Mick has resurfaced yet again.
No, but I mean, I'm annoyed at myself there because Tyrone are living off reputation from 10, 15 years ago and I'll always get people's money. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks to Mick and thanks to Mark. And congratulations to Mark.
Thanks actually. Very much, Gavin.
That was some comeback out of the depths of hell. Like, yeah.
It did go every which way. Listener, thanks very much for being a listener and listening. Get in touch with us, tweet at polls.ie, email thegaffer at polls.ie. And do remember to give us a rating and a review and a comment on iTunes. Do subscribe and do tell your friends. We will be continuing in the guise of So-Called Weaker Podcast right through the end of the championship. So we'll talk.
So-Called Weaker Podcast.
Yeah. Also, people should listen if they haven't already on this feed to the Champions Podcast, which we're also doing. With the last interview was a really, really enjoyable interview with Tomás Mulcahy, and we'll have something else coming up pretty soon as well on this feed.
Goodbye.
That's it. Sorry. Every county in it is one of the eight. So together they're the Super Eights.
They're like the Justice League.
But yeah.
They're only one league.
Oh, true, yeah.
No, but I do get you, though. Yeah, they're superheroes.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
No, but they're not. They're just super.
Superhero.
And then there's eight of them.
That's why the GA didn't want to get known as a Super Eight.
Yeah, I think so.